Jay Coughlin, Executive Director of Nuclear Watch of New Mexico, speaking to us from the Longhouse in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the state legislature. And that does it for today's program. If you'd like a copy, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Shufa Dokadus, Aaron Monte, Angeli Comet, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Hani Masood, Rabbi Karen, Mike DeFilippo, Peter Curries, Miguel Nogueira, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Nick Gillick, Hugh Grant, Samantha Chambly, Jessel Noor, John Gerberg, Vesta Godars. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB. It's 3 minutes after 6 o'clock. And, you know, I should say, to be legal, WUSB, Stony Brook. And at 3 minutes after 6 o'clock, it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. Okay, good, good. All right. We're set up here with the drums. Good evening, good evening. Another exciting edition of Off the Wall has come your way, whether you want it to or not. Here we are, and yes, I'll be honest. You thought I was mad 2 weeks ago with the whole result from the previous week's election in Massachusetts. No, I'm more mad this week because of that other thing that happened in Washington, D.C., and I'm talking about the snow, okay? I'm talking about the fact that over the weekend, Washington, D.C. gets something like 20-plus inches of snow, and we get nothing. We get nothing here in New York. We're further to the north, and we got zilcho. It missed us by 10 miles. It veered off to sea just below Long Island, skipped us. I mean, come on, it's not fair. Washington is not Boston. Washington doesn't get to have winter and we get nothing. No, it's not fair. And I've tried complaining to as many people as I can possibly find, and you know, I'm not getting much in the way of results. I'm very disappointed with the way this is being dealt with. It's not being treated seriously. And Okay, you may say, Emmanuel, don't be such a crybaby because you're getting a snowstorm tonight. And that's true. There is snow forecast to hit this area starting tonight sometime and going through tomorrow, which is good. Tomorrow will be a blizzard day of sorts, and that'll be fun. But it's a bit tainted for me because listening to weather forecasts, I'm hearing predictions of something like 6 and 12 inches, between 6 and 12 inches for New York and Long Island. And okay, you know, that's fine. But then I'm hearing the forecast for Washington, D.C. Yes, the same Washington, D.C. that just got 20 plus inches. And they're saying for them, 10 to 20 inches. And I'm like, come on already. What? How can you hog all the snow like this? That's 40 inches in a week. And some parts of that area got even more than 20 inches. Some parts got 30 inches. I even saw a report somewhere of 40 inches, which I can't even conceive of. It's Washington, D.C., not Buffalo. Okay? They don't deserve this. And you know what else? They can't handle it. They cannot handle this kind of weather. The whole city is shut down. They had snow Friday into Saturday. And they shut down school on Monday. Now, New York would have been dug out in those 2 days, easily. But they shut down school on Monday. And you know what? They shut down school on Tuesday as well. That's right. Today, no school on top of yesterday. And because there's snow coming tonight into tomorrow, guess what? No school tomorrow either. And probably not the day after that. They can't handle it. The nation's capital is paralyzed. It's a bad idea. Bad idea to give them that much snow and us nothing. I mean, yeah, we'll close down school for a day or two. You know, we're not as good as those northern cities, like, you know, Minneapolis. They could get 50 inches and it wouldn't faze them. But, you know, we'll get over it a lot quicker. The subways will be running. The buses will be running. People will be driving back and forth and going out doing their normal routines. We don't panic that much. D.C., an inch, 2 inches, things shut down. And here, what, 30 or 40 inches? No, that's not right. So please, if you're out there and you know anybody that has influence over such things, please give them a call and urge them to make sure that we get our fair share this time. All right. I know a lot of people out there are saying, this guy's crazy. He wants snow. He wants bad weather. He wants mayhem and chaos. And my only answer to that is, yeah, I do. I really do. It relieves the boredom and the tedium a lot when you have all kinds of different chaotic fun things going on. And yes, chaos is fun. I think we all know that. Seriously, try a little chaos on it. It won't necessarily be a bad thing. It won't be anything to be afraid of. And it's winter, you know? You're supposed to have adverse weather conditions in the wintertime. I think that's only fair. Okay, as we promised last week, we do want to take phone calls earlier. 2 weeks ago, it was your fault, listeners. You didn't call. Last week, it was my fault because I didn't start taking calls until about 5 minutes of. So, okay, we're even now. This week, we settle it. This week, we, basically have it so that you get your say. So around, 6:40, let's say, we'll take phone calls. Write down the number now, 631-632-9872. All right, it's 12 minutes after 6 now. So whatever time conversions you have to do, based on where you are, those of you in Iran, I think you're a half hour off on top of the time difference. So I know we have a large contingency of people over there to listen as well. So keep that in mind. Make your adjustments now and write down the number 631-632-WUSB. That spells 9872. And speaking of which, New York City is getting a new area code, I hear. 929. Yeah, 92. What does that spell? It spells yay. As in yay, we're getting a new area code. 929. And it's not Manhattan. It's the outer boroughs. It's Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, maybe even Staten Island. To go on top of their 718 and 347. Now they're getting 929 on top of that. It spells way, W-A-Y. I'm not quite sure how that would tie into a phone number. But yeah, not much else that I can see. I don't know how they run out of numbers. I don't know how they run out of... When you think of how many phone numbers are in an area code, you know, you have 7 digits after the area code. And the first 3 digits are an exchange, and every single one of those exchanges, of which there are 1,000, can have 10,000 numbers. So that's 1,000 times 10,000, which is like 50,000 or so. It's a lot. It's a huge number. And I just can't believe that we're wasting that many of them on our stupid devices. And I guess our Google Voice numbers and various other bits of technology that wind up giving 50 phone numbers for every man, woman, child, dog, and cat alive. It's really weird. Okay, let's start off tonight by looking at some listener mail, because listener mail is always it's always a bit fun to go through. And let's see, we have I don't want to read the same thing twice. Oh, I do have a correction. I was advised of this after the show. The mystery sound that I played at the beginning of the year that we finally identified as being in the Paris train station Gare du Nord, I was actually advised that it was really the train station Gare de... I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right. Gare de l'Est, meaning the East Station, not the North Station. It's about 2 blocks away, one huge train station next to another huge train station. But, yeah, I got it wrong. I'm sorry about that. I'm probably getting the pronunciation wrong, which, after my entire school career taking French, you'd be amazed I can't pronounce a three-letter word properly. But that's the American educational system, and that's my mind at work as well. Okay. These letters we read. Did I not bring the rest of the letters? I'm not sure, to be honest. Okay, fine. Then we'll just jump into some news stories. Or actually, you know what? Here's something. I'd like to play something. I'd like to play a bit of audio. I have to find that first, though. Boy, I'm so disorganized. The problem is I had like a bit of a tiff with the CD players coming in here. I'm sorry. We have three of them, but they don't always play CDs. They do other things. They really do. But playing CDs is not their primary function, apparently. So I had a bit of a run-in with one of them, but I think we have... okay, we have something now. What we have is an excerpt from the State of the Union Address. And I'd like you to pay particular attention to words about the economy and about the changes that we need to undertake and the patience people have to have to get through the crisis. All right, let's stop with the political infighting and the bickering. Let's focus on this and realize what it is that needs to be done.
Together, we have made a new beginning, but we have only begun. No one pretends that the way ahead will be easy. In my inaugural address last year, I warned that the ills we suffer have come upon us over several decades. They will not go away in days, weeks, or months. But they will go away, because we as Americans have the capacity now, as we've had it in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. The economy will face difficult moments in the months ahead. But the program for economic recovery that is in place will pull the economy out of its slump and put us on the road to prosperity and stable growth by the latter half of this year. And that is why I can report to you tonight that in the near future, the State of the Union and the economy will be better, much better, if we summon the strength to continue on the course that we've charted. And so, the question, if the fundamentals are in place, what now? Well, two things. First, we must understand what's happening at the moment to the economy. Our current problems are not the product of the recovery program that's only just now getting underway, as some would have you believe. They are the inheritance of decades of tax and tax and spend and spend. Second, because our economic problems are deeply rooted and will not respond to quick political fixes, We must stick to our carefully integrated plan for recovery.
Yeah, wow. Boy, does that sound familiar. It's almost word for word what Obama's been saying. Of course, the ingredients are a bit different. You have Reagan saying that it's because of the big government and taxing and spending, and basically Obama saying that it's because banks have been giving all this money and we've been very irresponsible. But it's the same basic call for patience, except that Reagan got his. He actually got Congress to cooperate with him and send us down what turned out to be an ill-fated road. But Obama's not getting anything nearly the same as that. So I found that really, really fascinating. Yeah, really interesting that that's how the words came out back in 1982. And it's also the same exact period in his presidency. It's the first year of his 8 years in office. Yes, I slipped that in there. I sure hope that Obama at least gets a chance for 8 years. But, you know, I got to say, the way things are going, it's doubtful. And there's so many stupid reasons for that. Here's a letter that we got from a listener. Dear Emmanuel, I heard last week on Off the Wall your despair about Democrats in and out of power. I was a little surprised at your surprise. It seems to me that both the Democrats and Republicans are doing precisely what they have always done, whatever serves their own political career, without regard to what is right or wrong. The answer, I'm sure you know, is not in politics, but the abolishment of it. Yes, signed Klaatu, and great name, Klaatu. But, yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I feel that attitude is what is driving us down a very dark passageway. And I take particular issue with those people who claim to be on the left, who claim to be Democrats, who are throwing up their hands in despair now and saying, oh, Obama's not doing anything. He's just as bad as a Republican. I've even heard somebody say that he's worse than Bush. And, you know, if you're somebody that thinks Bush was bad and you say that, I'm sorry, you're a moron. You're a class A moron. Now, if you believe that Bush was the second coming of Christ, then yes, you're correct in saying that Obama is worse than him, because from your perspective, where you're coming from, yes, he is definitely worse. And this is something that people on the left need to look at. They need to look at the reaction of the people on the right. All right? If Obama was something on the order of George W. Bush or even a moderate Republican, do you think they'd be so enraged? Do you think they'd be so panicky about what this guy is going to do next? No, you see, they see there is a difference, and they're reacting to that difference, and that's exactly what they're supposed to be doing, because they don't believe in this. And that's why they're trying everything they can to get him out of power. They see that he is different. Now, those of you on the left who are wringing your hands because all change isn't coming fast enough and this guy is agreeing with Republicans on too many things, well, you know what? You're just going to have to deal with it, because if you don't, you're going to wind up going right back to square one. Now, at least in this particular case, we're taking some steps, not nearly enough steps. Yes, I agree with that. But that's because of your fellow citizens. That's because not enough people have seen the way yet. And if you move too fast against the will of too many people, you're doomed politically, and then you simply don't accomplish anything. But strides have been made, almost, in healthcare. You certainly can't fault him for not succeeding there. We're changing our image around the world. I don't know much about finances, but I have the feeling that because of all the people screaming bloody murder, those who are responsible for getting us into this mess and those people who walked away with billions of dollars, they're the ones that won't be so well off if things go Obama's way. I think the poor underprivileged in this country might get some more attention. I think education might get a fairer shake. Certainly our image in the rest of the world has improved, and it's nice to hear somebody who can articulate and say intelligent things, even if I don't agree with all of them. I certainly don't agree with Afghanistan. I don't agree with many statements that are made, and I didn't expect to. I never expected to. But you are seeing an end to the conflict in Iraq, which is one of the promises that was made. I don't see very many promises that are being broken. I see things that are not being accomplished, most of that because of all this infighting in Congress, and that's the way the system works. But the only problem I have with statements like the only solution is to abolish it, or this is just a one-party state, because come Election Day, people who believe this are going to stay home or just vote for somebody that has no chance of winning. And the result of that will be back to the Republicans. And, you know, I learned that lesson in 2000 when I thought, naively enough, I thought that there was no difference at all between Al Gore and George W. Bush. I really thought that. And I voted for Nader. It didn't make a difference because I live in New York and the way our crazy system works, individual votes don't count. They only vote as a state based on the individual votes, but it's still a crazy system. So, yeah, I learned that had we had Gore in power, a lot of the things that happened would not have happened. Now, yeah, this is not to say that it would have been perfect, that there wouldn't have been bad decisions made, that maybe some of the same things wouldn't have happened. Yeah, some of the same things would have happened. But we certainly would have been in better shape. We certainly would have had a better leader. So, I think that's the last time I ever said, okay, they're all the same. There's no point in voting for any of them. No, there is a point. Because you can't take all the steps at once. You have to take the steps a little bit at a time. That's just the way it works, especially when you're a huge nation. Now, if we broke up into all kinds of little nations, yeah, then you might be able to take those steps faster. If every state was a nation, that'd be kind of cool. But that's not how it is. It's not how it is at all. All right. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there, and I don't want to get us further behind schedule. So it's probably best that we... yes, it took the cue right away. Very good. Time for this week's edition of... what is it called? The Quest for Starbucks, yes. I shouldn't interact with the dancers, so I won't. But since we are pressed for time, I do have to talk over them a little bit. This is the part of the program where we basically... this is the third round of our elimination, where I pick a Starbucks somewhere in the world to go to for my first ever visit to a Starbucks. Now, it's going to be a while before I actually get to do this because of the amount that there are. But, basically, we got it down to 4,096 last week. And I know a lot of people are writing in saying, you know, Emmanuel, this is like listening to paint peel. And you're right, it's not very exciting right now. It will get more exciting as the numbers get smaller and smaller. But let me point out a couple of things. First of all, this is the last week we're doing this month. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? We can only do it two weeks per month at most. We have basketball games coming next week and the week after that. In fact, we're not even going to be here next week live. There's going to be some kind of special presentation. I believe we're doing Scotland. I believe we're doing Scotland shows next couple of weeks. That'll be fun. You won't have to deal with this next week, but we are going to cut the list in half again and run it down to 2,048. And when we get to March, then we'll do a couple more. We'll get it down, I think, to around 500 or so, and then it'll start to get a little bit interesting. Once it gets down to 16 and 8 and 4, yeah, then you're going to see some panicking in those cities where it might be my first visit to a Starbucks. And to make things more interesting this time, what I did was I picked out 10 names or 10 locations off the top of the list that we came up with last week and 10 from the bottom. So those are 10 that were still in competition as of last week. And what we're going to do now is randomize the list, cut it in half, and see how many of those 20 places made it to the next round. So here we go. It's time for the... What is this? We're at the first. This is the third round. Yes. Time for the third round. And here we go. Drum roll. Okay. And the list has been cut in half. We now have a list of 2048. Now, we have the city of Bothell, Washington, that made it last week, and they are not in the list anymore. Bothell, Washington has been eliminated. Actually, that may not be entirely true because there may be more than one in that city, but the particular one that was picked out, that's been eliminated. Overland Park, Kansas, also eliminated. I'm sorry. Here's Aloha, Oregon. And they've been eliminated too. Wow. It's a bloodbath, isn't it? Okay. Here's another one. Harrisonburg, Virginia. And Harrisonburg, Virginia made it this time, so they are still in the competition. They've made it to the final 2048. Aventura, Florida. Aventura, Florida has also made it. Tumwater, Washington. Tumwater, Washington is not in the final 2048. They have been eliminated. Irvine, California. Irvine, California proceeds to the next round. Clermont, Florida. Clermont, Florida also proceeds to the next round. Powell, Tennessee. Powell, Tennessee did not make it, I'm sorry to say. Ellensburg, Washington. Ellensburg, Washington did not make it either. All right, now to the bottom 10 that I picked out at random. Well, not at random. I picked the bottom 10. The list is chosen at random. Guadalajara, Mexico. Oh, this is getting interesting. And they made it. Okay, Guadalajara, Mexico. I could wind up going there. Yeah, this could be anywhere in the world. So, okay, they made it to the final 2048. Makati City in the Philippines. All of a sudden, we have international places. That's great. And they made it too. Okay, this is wonderful. Santiago, Chile. This is kind of weird how all of a sudden, the first 10, I didn't get any foreign countries, and now all of a sudden, there they are. Santiago, Chile has also made it. That is wacky. So three overseas places are in the final, we'll make it to the fourth round at least. Vancouver, British Columbia, also a foreign country. They did not make it, I'm sorry to say. Gainesville, Florida. They advanced to the next round as well. Red Bank, New Jersey. Searching. Red Bank, New Jersey has also made it. Chicago, Illinois. And, of course, this is only one Starbucks in Chicago, Illinois. And they did not make it. They did not advance. But there could be 12 others that did. We don't know for sure. Sacramento, California. And that particular Sacramento, California Starbucks did advance to the next round. And the final... Yes, I'm running out of time. The final of these random 20 is Spokane, Washington. And they did not make it. Okay, you can see, you know, if I was to read all the locations that were possible, it would take forever and it would be very boring. So I just did that to give you a sense of the randomness of it all. But now we do move into the fourth round in March with 2048 potential Starbucks to make my first. I don't know how this happened where I just never actually walked through the door of one. But I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. Yeah, okay. And that's all kinds of fun there. I could wind up anywhere in the world. It's kind of intriguing. It's probably not going to happen until next year, though, at this rate, the way we're going. We have another feature that we have a lot of features this year. Have you noticed that? More features than ever. And hopefully we'll be taking phone calls in just a few minutes. But wanted to get into the phone company record that we've been featuring since the beginning of the year. Good Friends Are for Keeps, the 100th year celebration album, America Sings of Telephones. this week, we're going to focus on a very memorable song, something that we've probably heard before. We'll never know for sure why Glenn Miller's gang kept calling that Pennsylvania number back in the late 30s. Maybe it was jotted down in a bandsman's little black book that celebrated male American social index that arrived with the telephone. Pennsylvania 65,000 was the number of the old Pennsylvania Hotel in New York. Now the Statler Hilton. Well, of course, this record came out in 1976, so it's no longer called that anymore. Now it's the Hotel Pennsylvania, which is where we hold our conferences. Small world, isn't it? And it's also where the IBS convention for the radio stations, college radio stations, is held, or are held. So yeah, it's a hub of activity. Anyway, it still has that number, you'll be glad to know, listed complete with the PE. Well, I don't think it's listed anymore like that, but according to this record in 1976, it was. Let's listen to that song from, who did this? Anyway, hang on, I got to find the line. It's Pennsylvania 65,000. This is the Glenn Miller version. Yeah, that's all the information that we have on it. Let's take a listen. The celebration of the 100th year of the Bell System 34 years ago. Yeah, okay, there we go. That's Glenn Miller and his orchestra from the late 30s. Wow. Pennsylvania 6, 5,000 from 100 years of service of the Bell System. The term Bell System was introduced in national advertising for the first time in 1908. Also the theme, One Policy, One System, Universal Service. What kind of stupid saying is that? Can't even remember it. I just said it and I can't remember it. That's how bad it is. One policy, one system, universal service. That's so bland and dull. Of course, it was 1908. In 1911, service was opened between New York and Denver. By that time, there were about 6 million Bell and Bell-connecting telephones in service. 6 million in 1911. The slogan, "The Voice with a Smile." Well, that's much better, isn't it? The Voice with a Smile. That slogan was first used in a booklet distributed by New York Telephone back in 1912. Yeah, 98 years ago. In January 1915, as a result of the invention of the vacuum tube, long-distance service was extended all the way to the West Coast. And we've been sorry ever since. Those people just don't shut up. The first transcontinental line was officially opened with a call from Alexander Graham Bell in New York to Thomas Watson in San Francisco. The lowest price for a coast-to-coast call in that year was $20.70. Yeah. And can you imagine $20.70 back in 1915, what that was worth? Probably at least 25, if not more. The first transatlantic radio telephone transmission was accomplished in 1915 from a transmitting station in Arlington, Virginia, to the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And in 1919, the Bell System announced for the first time plans for introducing dial telephones and machine switching in its exchanges. It's fascinating to see the history and how it all started to evolve and what it's turned into today and how it's all kind of fallen apart. Oh, well. We're going to live up to our promise, take some phone calls. I'm going to, in fact, go into delay before even receiving a phone call, which is normally what I don't do. But it's like a preemptive strike. I'm going to do this first and assume calls will start coming in, 631-632-9872. So let's do that without any delay. I'll see you on the other side.
Hey, this is Julia from the Coat Hangers. Yo, yo, yo. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And here we are on the other side, and I sure hope we made it. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Please give us a call. Tell us anything that's on your mind with regards to, I don't know, the weather, politics. Does it have to be the Super Bowl? I don't know. You know, I'm happy New Orleans won because anything that makes a city that's been through hell feel happy is a good thing. Other than that, it's pretty silly. But it's always good to make people feel better. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Manuel.
How you doing?
I just wanted to say, and I know you didn't espouse pronunciation of French words properly, but it's in fact gar. It's for the train station.
You mean I got the first word wrong, too?
Yep, it's gare du Nord.
Gar. So all the time I was saying gare du Nord, I should be saying gare du Nord.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, how about the lest part?
That's, you know, French, it's pretty much how it looks, like l'ouest,
Okay.
But,
yeah. I don't understand. I took French throughout junior high school, throughout high school, and even some of college, and this is the best I can do,
Yeah.
I don't have one of those heads for languages, I guess.
Yeah, I took French for a while, too, but I definitely remember the gar part.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Anything else on your mind besides correcting my pronunciation?
Oh, no, just long-time listener from Iowa City. Just wanted to say hey.
And where did you say you're calling from?
Iowa City.
Iowa City in Iowa. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for calling.
Yep, take care.
All right, and good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Manorville.
Manorville, New York?
Yeah.
Out east?
Yeah.
Okay, what's on your mind?
I wanted to let you know that I've been gathering with friends for the past several months, and we've been talking about the future in terms of what we're going to do without money, without energy, without food. These are people that are willing to listen and share ideas that deal with what skills we have that we can barter for. It's very enlightening, and I'd like to invite anyone who's on the radio program to come to my home on February 20th, 10 o'clock. I live out in the Pine Barrens. I can give you my phone number.
You have a house in the Pine Barrens, right? Yeah, hopefully.
It's eye awakening in terms of the political infrastructure, the educational infrastructure of this nation, the economic infrastructure, that we have to be prepared. And there's a very enlightening group of people who come up with ideas such as one gentleman is buying silver. He's buying silver coins. He's stockpiling silver and stockpiling gold because the dollar won't be worth anything. And they'll at least have some money for exchange.
Now, hasn't this kind of thing been going on for a while? Haven't people been doing this for almost decades or longer?
I don't know. I haven't thought of it. I haven't been I have been just laying back and saying everything's going to be fine.
Uh-huh. What tells you that everything is not going to be fine?
No. There's an impending doom that's pervading this nation in terms of a huge stock market crash like 29. And we're just being prepared for it. To be able to live sustainably, for instance, organic farmers are hiring guards because people are going to start invading their organic farms for food if this happens. So it's just a wake-up call.
Well, let me just ask you this. Even if we don't have a catastrophe, does it not make more sense to be more self-sufficient?
It does. It does. And the eclectic variety and mix of people that are joining us for these discussions have enlightened me to make more informed decisions about the future in terms of I'm a retired person. I have Social Security. What if that's gone? I have a retirement fund. What if that's gone? These are in discussions of things that we can do to prepare for the future.
Now, is there a particular political ideology that goes along with this, or are you seeing people from all different perspectives?
It's arisen out of a group of people that live in communes that are practicing primitive skills, such as making their own clothing, growing their own food, bartering for goods. They're kind of off-the-grid kind of people.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you even call that primitive, because I think it's really primitive to let everything be done for you. But if you can do things for yourself, then I think you've advanced beyond that.
Be more self-reliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I think, you know, regardless of where it is you're coming from, if you think there's some kind of catastrophe coming, if you just think that our lives are run too much by outside forces, whether it be corporations or political agendas, I don't see how it could be a bad thing to learn how to grow your own food, to make your own clothing. I wouldn't want to see it become something where you're isolated from the rest of the world, though.
The idea is to look at the worst-case scenario and be prepared for it. For instance, one of the gentlemen in the group has taught us how to make go kits, go packs. These are packs that you have ready with a supply of food, matches, items that you could take and grab at a minute if you had to get out.
Uh-huh.
And this is the kind of things that we're doing. So I just want to call and let you know that this kind of thing exists, and I encourage other people to take up the ball and run with it.
Now, you want to give out any information as far as how people out there might want to join in on this, or are you?
Find me. My name is Tom Stock. I live in Manorville, very close to Exit 70. My phone number is 727-5250. My email address is tstock39@gmail.com. I'm hosting the next meeting February 20th, and people are welcome to come. So they give me a call and contact. I'll be glad to give them directions.
All right. Well, best of luck with that. Sounds fascinating.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Wow. yeah, well, I don't know. Are they survivalists? What do you call people who do that? Or just people that are into knowing how things work on their own? You know, I'm sort of torn there. Like to know how to do more, but it's hard in this society. I mean, you have situations where farmers aren't allowed to replant certain crops; they're copy protected, literally. That's the kind of nonsense that people deal with in today's world. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Reminder: next week, the week after, we won't be able to take phone calls because we have abbreviated programs due to basketball games, and we're likely going to be pre-recorded as well, so that makes it really hard. So if you have something on your mind, this is the opportunity. And I should point out that by speaking your mind now, your voice gets transmitted around the world, not just here in Stony Brook, not just in this little small area, but it gets transmitted via the internet to people listening, and we have many people who listen. And also, it's archived on the internet for all time. There's nothing you can do about it once it's on there. Yeah. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Miller Place.
Miller Place. That's nearby as well.
Sure.
What's on your mind?
I don't know. I was listening to the last caller, and it made me think, you know, when the world gets to that point, which it probably, you know, it's very likely, I mean, what he said could potentially occur and is seems to be occurring as we stand here today. But, I mean, is that world worth living in? When it gets to that point...
Well, you know, it depends on what's being described. Okay, a stock market crash like 1929 would be bad, but we could certainly live through it, and I think life would be worth living. The Waltons came out of that, and they seem to have a lot of fun. So, yeah, you know, this nuclear catastrophe, that probably wouldn't be worth living through.
No, and you know, I mean, he's talking about collecting or silver, and so, I mean, you can't eat it. I mean, if you can't eat silver or gold, and I don't know, it just seems as though we're one world organization here.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in this together, and if the boat sinks, which it apparently seems to be...
Why do you think it's sinking?
Due to malfeasance at the highest levels of our society. I mean, this was all brought about by very educated academics that run this world. Mm-hmm. It would seem to me, I mean, I was watching C-SPAN the other day, and they were talking about how, you know, the space program should be cut and scrapped because we shouldn't be going to the moon. But then what's the sense of living if we can't explore the outer reaches of our galaxy?
Well, I totally agree with that, and I was very disappointed to see Obama cutting the mission to the moon. But then again,
it's a disgrace. I mean, think about it.
Well,
because of the malfeasance of the banking community,
right?
Now we will no longer have a space program.
Well, okay, but we're one country. It's one government. There are other countries that are pushing ahead. And if we privatize space exploration, we may very well see more progress made. Because think of how much bureaucracy and waste there has been in NASA over the years. I mean, it just, you know, NASA is great for the science aspects of it, but the actual financial responsibility of getting things up into space and other planets, you might need to actually have some kind of economic model for that.
Sure. I mean, I've always been proud and have taken pride as a human in the ability of the human mind to excel as it has and to embrace or at least comprehend what we are, where we're going, why we're here, you know, outer space. I mean, the things that they can tell about our universe is remarkable, and
I've always
been very proud of mankind and its achievements in that level.
Yeah, the things Hubble sees should be on the front page of newspapers on a daily basis, I think.
But to take that away from the people that do go to university and, you know, exercise their minds to such a degree that they can actually understand all of this, I mean, whether it's, you know, string theory or all these math mathematicians and stuff. I mean, it's remarkable how flexible the human brain is.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between taking away one program and taking away the actual exploration and learning that can exist in universities and schools. But you know, this particular program that was cut it was taking a very long time, and it was using technology that really wasn't much more advanced than what we used to get there the first time. I think we should be much further along than this, and I think maybe if there's some kind of incentive economically that we're starting to see with commercial development of low-orbit flights and things like that, you might see faster progress. You might see things more on the level of you know, high-speed trains being developed by independent companies.
Oh, yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, I can't understand why we don't have high-speed rail. I mean, we should be so far along on that. I mean, there are third-world countries that are doing much better than us.
Yeah, this is something that Obama was pushing, and, you know, it's obviously running into more opposition by various other factions, so it's important to speak up and say, yes, this is what we want, this is what we need. Let's not be such a car-based society. Let's have more mass transit and have more places to go quickly.
Yeah, I think that our government in a whole has got a stranglehold, divide and conquer. You know, it seems as though they don't want to get anything done. You know, the other day I heard that because the government had to shut down because of the snow day a couple of days ago in Maryland and Washington, they had all that snow, 27 inches.
Yes, I heard.
They said we're going to lose, or rather, it's going to cost us $100 million a day in lost productivity. Well, as far as I'm concerned, there is no productivity in government.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to take a day off and we save $100 million.
I don't get that, because when you go to school and you lose a week because of snow, you have to make it up. You don't get a spring break or something like that. Why wouldn't people work for the federal government or any organization not be expected to make it up as well?
Yeah. I, you know, it was just what was said, that that it will be to the American people a loss of $100 million a day. Now, considering that there are only 325 million American citizens, if that's an accurate number, so that would say to me that if we let Washington stay home for 4 days, we would actually be able to give every American citizen $1 million.
in theory, I suppose that...
But, you know, when you see what goes on in government, they never get anything done anyway. I mean, they might name a post office or a street after a dead soldier that they've caused the death of, but ultimately, they really don't seem to be doing much of anything for anybody other than themselves.
Yeah, but if you carry on to that philosophy for all time, basically, you'll never feel inspired to go to the polls on Election Day, and the people who are inspired to move in a particular direction will win every time.
Yeah. Well, you know, you see what's going on with our election process and the Supreme Court once again getting involved by allowing corporations to, you know, override anybody's vote.
Right. But the difference is you see Obama speaking out in the State of the Union address against this to the Supreme Court, right to their faces. And that, to me, means that, yeah, this guy is different than the status quo. He doesn't want this kind of thing to happen. And that's something that should be encouraged.
Yeah. Well, we can only hope. But, you know, what somebody says they want and what they actually accomplish or achieve are two different things. You know, it's very, you know, I remember when Obama was speaking to a Canadian legislator or someone from Canada, he said, don't worry, you know, everything I'm saying about free trade and this agreement we have between Canada and the United States, it's a wink and a nod. Don't worry about it because we're not going to change this course that we're on with free trade. And it's, that to me showed him as not being so genuine ultimately. You know, he has, you know, two sides to him, you know.
Well, he's a politician. That's something you have to remember.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in this day and age, it's an extremely dirty word, you know.
Right. But
John Murtha died yesterday. I mean,
yes.
I really don't feel bad. I mean, I know he was a great patriot and a wonderful man, but, I mean, ultimately, I look at it as though, well, at least we got rid of him, you know. I mean.
Yeah, but come on. What are you going to replace him with? Something that, you know, something further to the right or somebody who just doesn't have the same connection. I mean, say what you will about him, but I think he understood what was right and what was wrong. He was against the Iraqi war.
But only after he okayed it.
Right. He was able to admit that he made a mistake, which is more than a lot of politicians can do, is admit when they're wrong.
It's easy for me to say, yeah, okay, let's do this, and then when it goes bad, I say, oh, no, we shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You know, but you said do it in the first place. I mean, I knew going into Iraq, and as did a lot of people, was going to be a catastrophe.
Right, but you don't have millions of people that won't vote for you and keep you in office, and you have to listen to them. And sometimes they're misled horribly by what other people say, and sometimes you have to go against what you believe in deep down. I'm not trying to excuse him voting for this, but so many people did.
Yeah, well, there's always a difference between right and wrong, and we all know that line, you know, there's a line in the sand, right and wrong. And I think going into that country to begin with was wrong. I mean, they allowed us to scrutinize their society, mm-hmm. look under every bed, in every sock drawer,
right.
Whatever. They submitted to 12 years of sanctions, which they really didn't have to, I didn't think. They were a sovereign nation.
But look what happened. We elected a leader who's getting us out of there by, what is it, July of this year. All combat troops will be out of there. And that's a promise that was kept.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing, and that's something that would not have happened had we elected somebody else. So there is a change, and that's a
big
change.
We're escalating in Afghanistan, which is not necessarily the right direction either.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you there, but that is something that he said during the campaign that he would do. So I'm not saying that he broke a promise there. It's just something I fundamentally disagree with him on.
Yeah.
But listen, sir, we got to go. Great conversation, though. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And for those of you who didn't call in, well, your only opportunity now is to write to us, otw@2600.com. And that's going to do it for us tonight. Next week, I think we'll be in Scotland next week. Not obviously in Scotland next week, but in Scotland last summer doing a radio show that will be airing next week. And I think it's going to be multi-part, too. So you might hear from Scotland for a couple of weeks. It'll be fun. Don't worry. It'll be great. Meanwhile, write to us if you feel lonely or anything or want to get something off your chest. otw@2600.com. It's Emmanuel for Off the Wall. See you soon. To all my killers and my $100 billers. To emo kids that got too many feelers. He held the register open while he counted her change. I was next in line, which meant I was invisible. From where I stood, I could see that the till was full. He didn't look the type to play superhero, so I stepped forth and paid for my cigarettes. Crept out the store's front door to chase a little breath. Bang,
jingles in my head, shake the song off. Another manic Monday night, it's gonna be a long walk. Car pulled up, a fixed up Cutlass. A woman and a child climbed out and left it running. They went inside of the deli, placed an order with the extra $1.50 bottled water, cause the daughter's picky. When it came out, mommy gave me a glance that said, man can love an angel, but he's gotta take the chance. Already knew the deal, I lit one up and walked. So they got back in their Oldsmobile, belted up and took off. Thug love on the corner by the Walgreens, looking at me like I'm just another square saltine. As I get closer, I notice they showing each other sketches out of their notebooks, reminding me of my old roots. I walk past with a nod and a reminisce. Swear to God, hip hop and comic books was my genesis. Respect the life and the fashions of the children. It's the only culture I've got, exactly what we've been building. All of a sudden, I'm in front of some man. No, he's a youngin', but he's got a gun in his hand. He looks 15, he looks frantic. No, he looks afraid. Immediately apprehensive till I heard him say, do you want this? It's not mine, I promise. I found it on my block in between a couple garages. Didn't want to leave it for a child to stumble over. I don't even know how to hold it. It was a 38, the poor man's machete. Held it in my hand, thinking, damn man, it's heavier than expected. Wedged it behind my belt buckle, knowing that it's evil. Even thought that I could smell trouble. The extra strength felt weak, but over there on the corner, so what I needed and proceeded to cross the street. Put the heat in a mailbox to lose it. Figured that the post office knows what's best to do with it. Mosey down the road, thinking about the old. I used to roam this zone through 2 feet of snow. Right here, this used to be a record shop. I've gotten love, I've gotten drunk, I've gotten beat up in that parking lot. I've had my Lake Street pride for 3 decades. These alleyways and these street lights have seen my best days. Before I was a germ learning how to misbehave all the way to the grave. Southside is my resting place. Took a ride on Lindale, I'm getting near. But then the road became empty and the people disappeared. The clouds ran away, opened up the sky. And one by one I watched every constellation die. And there I was frozen, standing in my backyard. Face to face, eye to eye, staring at the last star. I should have known, walked all the way home to find that she wasn't here. I was still all alone. No matter where I am, no matter what I do, I'm always coming back home to you. They can leave me for dead, they can take away my truth. I'm always coming back home to you. Through the lies and the sins that ride the wind that blew, I'm always coming back home to you. As sure as the life in the garden that you grew, I'm always coming back home to you. No matter where I am, no matter what I do, I'm always coming back home to you. If only I had known what you already knew, I'm always coming back home to you. From the heaven I've had to the hell I've been through, I'm always coming back home to you. I'm always coming back home to you.